Thank God for the good singing today. I always enjoy the good singing. It ministers to our hearts. You have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 5. October has been set aside for Pastors Appreciation Month. And I wanted to say to the assistant pastors and Pastor Larry and Bowden how much I appreciate them. As a matter of fact, let's see, if you've been called to preach, if you're here and God's called you into gospel preaching ministry, if you would just stand up, would you do that? Say, God's called me to preach. Now, I'm not talking about pastoring, just God's called me to preach. I want you to stand up just for a moment. These men right here need your prayer. See, God has something for them to do. Preaching the Word of God is a very important thing. It's a great responsibility. Don't tell them what God's going to do with these men. Maybe through the ministry of an expanded ministry of this church, it may be God will send them somewhere to plant a church. I don't know. I don't know what God has for them. I want to be a help to them any way I can. And I want you to pray for them. Take one good look at them. Try to get their names etched in your heart and in your mind. And you pray for these men regularly. It'll be a blessing to you. And it'll certainly be a blessing to them. You can be seated. Thank you, men. I'm glad that God's still calling young men to preach. I look across and I see some young men. And I'm glad God still calls young men to preach His Word. Amen. God's still reaching down calling young men to preach. You say, well, God wouldn't call me to preach. Yeah. Probably getting ready to call you if you're thinking that way. I'm glad God calls young men to preach the Word. Amen. Amen? Now, I want the pastors. Pastor Larry, would you stand? Pastor Larry, Pastor David, Pastor BJ, Pastor Brandon. I appreciate these men. These men are pastors. Now, it's a little different. Pastor BJ's upstairs, isn't he? Yeah. These men are pastors. And God has His hand on their life, and they're a great asset to the ministry here. And we appreciate them, and we're thankful for them. Now, the church does something for the pastors on staff. This is just something I wanted to do as the pastor. I appreciate these men. They're a great help to me as I serve you and as we serve the Lord together. And I just want to tell them I appreciate them. I'm very grateful for them. I'm glad that God puts people around you to help you in the ministry. Now, these are not the only ones. Listen, there's many people sitting in these chairs that are a great help to their pastor and to the flock of God. And I'm thankful for them. I've got just a little something for them, just something from my heart. It's not a whole lot, just something to say thank you. I'm going to ask Pastor David to come, if you'd get yours, and take Pastor Larry his. I appreciate you, Brother David. Sir, I love you,
I love you, Brother.
I love you, Brother Larry. Pastor Brandon, would you come? I love you, Pastor Brown.
I love you,
thank you. We'll get Pastor BJ's tonight. You're welcome. We'll get Pastor BJ his tonight. I appreciate Pastor BJ. Thank you, men. You may be seated. Now, who I didn't ask to stand are their wives. And I think everyone here knows that a man's not going to do a whole lot without the assistance of his wife. He's not going to do a whole lot. Especially for the kingdom of God. If a man can't rule his own home well, how can he rule the church of God? Amen. And it takes a good woman to stand behind her man and to minister with him and to serve with him. And I sure am thankful for good ladies that God gives these men that just really serves alongside of them. And then, too, kind of releases them in a way to where they can serve in the church. That's important. Every man in here knows what I'm talking about. If you serve God, you know what I speak of. It's very important that your wife be on board with you. Isn't it, men? Isn't it? No matter what capacity you're serving God in. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. It may be in maintenance work. I don't know. It could be in bus ministry work. Could be in children's ministries. Could be in youth ministries. Could be in music ministries. If you're going to serve God now, you're going to need a good godly wife that will stand beside you and serve with you and then you can serve God with your children so you can serve God as a family. It's just so important. It's something that's missing in our day. Now, with that in mind, I want to preach a message to you about what the role and responsibility and the reward of pastors are. You know, pastors are kind of the butt end of a lot of jokes today, and some of them need to be. But not all of them are in the same boat. I thank God for good, godly pastors that have influenced my life. And I thank God for good, godly pastors that are influencing our nation and that are influencing our world. There's some good, godly men. Now, some of them you may not know. They may be pastoring in a little country church on the backside of a place, serving God without any form of recognition. But I got to tell you something. God sees them. Amen. God knows where they are. God knows what they're doing. And so we ought to be grateful for God's men. Peter, here in 1 Peter, he kind of launches into some responsibilities of the pastor. And he kind of gives us what the definition of a pastor is. Before I get too deep into the message, I just want to really give you some things that God's laid upon my heart as I reflected on some things this past week. You know, every person needs a church. I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do too. Every person needs a church. So, churches, a lot of politics. Well, in some churches, you know what? I realize churches are not perfect. You know why they're not? Because we are the church, and we're not perfect. Right? It's kind of like that parental thing. There's no perfect children because there's no perfect parents. Right? There's not going to be any perfect churches. There's just not. So I'm searching for one. Well, good luck with that. You're not going to find a perfect church. Now, that doesn't excuse misbehavior. That doesn't excuse sinful behavior. It doesn't excuse being without structure and not following the scripture mandate. That doesn't excuse that. It's just stating a fact. The fact is that every person needs a good home church. Amen. It's missing in our country. It's missing in our world where folks say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Well, I understand that, but listen, if you're going to heaven, you ought to go to church. Every person needs a church. I don't have to have church to worship. Well, I understand that, but listen, you'll worship more and worship better if you go to church. Amen. You need God's people. See, no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. God didn't save you to put you on an island. God put us in a flock. Look at verse number 2. Feed the flock. That's what we are. The flock of God. We're the flock. Sheep run in flocks. Amen? God put us in a flock so that we could benefit from one another. We could help one another. We could aid one another. We could bear one another's burdens so that we could pray one with another and care one for another and help one another. Sometimes reprove one another and rebuke one another and assist one another. See, there's just so many advantages of belonging to a good Bible-believing church. And all God's people said, it's just good for you. It's just good for you. See, that's why the devil tries to keep you away from one. That's right. Every person needs a church. Every individual, every family needs a pastor. I don't need a pastor. Yes, you do. You may not think you need one today, but there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to need a pastor. You're going to need a spiritual counselor. You're going to need someone to mend up some wounds. You're going to need someone to pray over you, to bury your dead, to marry your young, to visit your sick. See, a good pastor is needed. And it do you young men, listen to me now, do you young men good to realize that early in life, your family needs a pastor. You need a pastor. You need a spiritual advisor, a spiritual administrator, a spiritual someone that will feed you the Word of God. You say, well, I can read the Bible myself. Yeah, but you need a gifted man, an anointed man that'll stand up and preach what thus saith the Lord to you. Amen. We all need it, brethren. Amen. Right. We need it. God has ordained it that way. We don't need it because I said we need it. We need it because God said we needed it. And if God said we need it, surely to heaven we need it. And if we ever needed it, brethren, we need it in our day. If we ever needed a good unity of church, if we ever needed a good flock, if we ever needed a good people to come together as a group, as a called out assembly of believers, as a church, where we could come together and we could just bear up one another and we could just pray one for another and we can lean on one another and encourage one another and consider one another. If we ever needed it, God knows we need it now. When the church has become, as I mentioned, as pastors, the church is a joke to many people, and people laugh and they mock and they scorn. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus loved the church. While the world despises the church, Jesus loved the church, and he died for the church. He shed his last blood for the church. And anything that means that much to Jesus ought to mean that much to we who are his children. Ought to mean a lot to us. I don't like it when people start talking negative. Matter of fact, I don't put up with it. As the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, I understand that you have your flaws, and you understand that I, as your pastor, has his flaws, but I'm not going to stand around now and let someone talk down negative about God's church, especially the church that meets here at Fellowship Baptist. I'm not going to do it. I'll be quick to agree with my adversary that we have our flaws and we have our weaknesses. But now also I want to go on record saying that there's some mighty good folks in this congregation, some God-fearing people, some people who love the Lord, some people who serve the Lord, some people who do things that, listen, they don't always get their name on the front page of the local paper. They don't always get their name, you know, printed, and they don't always stand before you. See, they're working behind the scenes, and though man may not see it, God sees it. That's just the kind of folks that we worship and serve with, and I thank God for it. So no, we're not perfect. But I also want to go on record as saying that there's some good folks that make up this congregation of believers, and I sure am thankful for them. Now listen, we can make choices in life. And our choices could be we could try to find the flaw in everyone, and I'm going to tell you, you don't have to search long or hard to find flaws in anything or anyone. We're under a curse and we're flawed. And if we choose to take that route, it's very easy to find them. Or we could take the other route and say, you know what? Love covereth a multitude of sin. And I'm going to look for the good in people. I'm going to look for what God is doing. I'm going to look for where their heart is. And I'm going to look for how they're helping. And I'm going to look at what they're doing for God's kingdom, you see. And that's what God wants us to do. And so it's with that in mind that Peter begins to write here. Now, Peter's not the only one that addressed the ministry. Really, all the apostles, Paul, John, Peter, they addressed Jude. They addressed the ministry. They did. But Peter goes into a little bit more of the descriptive part of the ministry. And so I want to share it with you. By the way, before I get into this, I think it'd be good to just kind of in your mind right now, what's your job description of a pastor? See, some folks' job description of a pastor is outrageous. They think the pastor's supposed to be in town to cut the ribbon, you know, on the new business, or fire the gun for the relay race, or, you know, some people's vision of a pastor is kind of like Mother Goose and old Mother Hubbard and Santa Claus all wrapped up in one, you know. That's just not what God's description of a pastor is. But now some folks have just unrealistic expectations. Some folks don't have any expectations of a pastor. It doesn't even matter to them. Well, if you're a Christian and you belong to a church, it ought to matter to you about the role and the responsibility of your spiritual leader. Amen. It ought to matter. What's your description? What are you looking for in a spiritual leader, in a pastor? And after you get through with that list, line it up with the Word of God and see, is it biblical? Are my expectations biblical? See, our expectations ought to be biblical in everything. My expectations ought to be biblical of you. Your expectations ought to be biblical of me. Our expectations ought to be biblical toward one another. Amen? Sure. But it's real easy to get outside of that if we're not careful. And so I think we ought to go back to the Bible and let's see what God said. So here's Peter, and he's writing, and he said this. Look in verse number 1. I'm just going to get through the first 4 verses. I'm going to give you some simple truths I hope will be a help to you. Verse number one, Peter said, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." Now, so well, I think this is talking about the aged men. No, I don't think so. I think Titus addressed that in Titus chapter 2. But I think this elder, I think it's part of, listen, from this word to where we get presbytery, from which means the laying of hands on from a calling, all right? The elder, someone who's been called, right? The elders which are, and I want you to underline that word, among you. See, a pastor's just not over you. There's some roles that a pastor have that is over you, and we'll address that. But a pastor ought to be among you. A pastor that separates himself from his people and never interacts with his people, listen, he'll never be able to influence or to help and to aid those people. A pastor that preaches and disappears, what good is he to you? He's no more than a TV preacher. Somebody say amen with me. Listen, a pastor ought to be, notice again the word that Peter used here in verse number one, the elders which are among you. See, you ought to be among the people. Get to know the people. Build relationships with the people. Peter said, I'm one. He said, who am also an elder? Peter said, I'm one. Peter was a co-pastor there in Jerusalem. He and John. He was an elder. Now, this word elder, as I mentioned, it's a very interesting word. It's where we get the word presbytery. It speaks of maturity. It speaks of experience. Now, here's a good description. I want you to follow what Peter's saying here. It's very important. Notice what he said. He said, I'm a witness, verse number one, of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, Peter, not only in this particular chapter, but over in 2 Peter, chapter 1 and 2, he talks about his experiences with Christ, the sufferings of Christ, the glories of Christ. Peter said, listen, Jesus is real to me. Now, listen, to me, this is one of the most important descriptions of a pastor that there is. Jesus ought to be real to your pastor. Well, if Jesus is not real to you, pastor, how is your pastor going to help make Jesus real to you? If I don't believe it, how am I going to get up and preach it with any kind of conviction that's going to impact you? And so Peter's saying here, he's saying, you know, a pastor, an elder, someone with a little experience and maturity to them ought to have some life experiences with Jesus, where Jesus has led them through some things and helped them through some things, and they've experienced how Jesus has ministered to them and ministered through them. And so Peter mentioned that. He said, I am also an elder. He said, I salute. Look in chapter number 1 or 5 again in verse number 1. He said, I exhort those elders among you. He said, I'm also an elder. And he said, I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I've had some experiences with Jesus. Well, you don't want a pastor that hasn't had any experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the God of heaven, right? You want someone that's going to walk with the Lord. Someone's going to have some experiences. Someone that walks with Christ and talks with Him and reads His Word and prays and has experienced God's working in his life. I thank God for the pastors that God has given us. You know, I didn't mention a man today, because he's not present. There's a pastor among this congregation of believers who's been in the ministry almost 80 years. Dr. Wayne Thompson. He'll soon be 96. God called him to preach when he was 16. He was a circuit riding preacher. I'm not talking about someone in the movies like Sheffy. I'm talking about the real deal. Dr. Wayne Thompson was a circuit riding preacher back in the hills of right up the road here from us. Rode around those regular Baptist churches and he preached and went around. He went with some of the older preachers and they'd carry him. And he's told us the story many times. And I tell you, we're blessed. I'm blessed as a pastor to have someone like that that God has put in the pathway of my ministry. I'm blessed to have this man, Brother Larry. Pastor of a church in California. I think 18 years, was an assistant pastor for 3 years. Planted a church there in California and pastored it for 18 years. Still going strong. Been in ministry for many years, and God sent him here to settle in here to help me, you see, to help you, to help us. See, God does that. God does that. Always be mindful and be thankful for the people that God puts in the pathway of your life. They have something to offer. God put them there for a purpose. And then God will put you in the pathway of someone's life. Be mindful of that and help them. So Peter said, listen, he said, number one, he said, as an elder, this speaks of consultation. This speaks of taking godly counsel as an elder. It speaks of someone who is mature in the faith, who has had real life experiences with a real living Jesus. Someone that can help you and that you can consult and that will help give you guidance in your life. Who are your spiritual counselors? I don't have any, preacher. Well, you need to get you some. Everybody needs spiritual counselors. Because the Bible says that by counsel, matters are established, you see. Everybody needs counselors. And I think that's the reason we have a lot of folks running around in darkness, because they're not seeking counsel. There's too many people that know too much these days. I want you to hold your place here to James, turn to, and Peter, and turn back to James chapter number 3. James warned about this. See, there's too many people who, they know so much. They know more than their spiritual leaders. They know more than their pastors. They know more than the preachers that God has put in their life. There's too many Christians that are know-it-alls, and I'm not being mean and ugly. I'm trying to help some people. There's too many people that don't want to get canceled. They go, well, I know how to do this, and I know how to do that, and I don't need this, and I don't need that. I got to tell you something. Hey, listen to me. There's a lot of folks that need a lot of things from where I'm viewing. But when you talk to them, they appear they've got all the answers. Well, if you have the answers, then you start using them. Get you some counsel. Good godly counsel is good for you. There's nothing wrong with good godly counsel. You never outgrow counsel, do you, Brother Larry? You never outgrow counsel, brethren. You can get up in your 60s, your 70s, your 80s. Brother Hackney, you ever outgrow counsel? You never outgrow counsel. Never. You always want to have somebody by you to confirm and affirm some things, to just help you to see the block. Listen, the cube is four square, and you can't see every angle. And God will put people in the pathway of your life that will help you there. Look here what James said in James chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. He said, my brethren, be not many masters. That word means teachers. You know, listen, you say, well, I'm going to go around just telling everything I know and teaching everybody. I just know it all. I don't need to learn. I need to teach. No, you need to learn so you can teach. Listen to your counselors. Young folks, please, please hear your pastor today. Learn what it is to get good, godly counsel. That's for the young folks, the middle-aged folks, the elderly folk. We need to get counsel. That's why God puts elders in our life. And he said, you be careful about wanting to be a teacher now. God's going to hold you to a greater standard. Isn't that what James chapter 3, verse 1 says? Look at it one more time. He said in verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So you be careful about advice you're giving. Make sure it comes from the book now. Say amen with me, folks. See, I'm talking to you about the definition, the description, as we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, of a pastor needs to be an elder. Needs to give good consultation, good counsel. Say, pastor, do you counsel with people? I do. But you know, I'd like for most of my counseling, I do counsel people one-on-one. I counsel couples. I do premarital counseling. I do marital counseling. I try to help people. I try to use the Word of God. And those of the church that have received counsel from this pastor, they'll tell you. I go right to this book right here. This book has the answers. I don't have the answers, but I have a book that does. Amen. And we'll navigate through this book and get some answers by the help of God. Amen. And so he said, listen, he said, now you be careful. The first thing about a job description of a pastor is he ought to be a wise man who has counsel from the Word of God, who will give you some answers from the Scripture, who is a man that is wise, who is a man that can navigate through the Bible. He's not a novice. He's mature in the faith. These are important factors for a pastor. An elder is the word he used there. An elder. All right? So I've never come to your office for counsel, Pastor. You're in my office right now. Amen. I'm giving you counsel. It do us well to listen to the counsel of our teachers and preachers. It saves us a lot of unnecessary hardship. When the Word of God is taught and when the Word of God is preached, follow that counsel. Don't resist it. Don't bow up against it. If it comes from the Word of God, receive it, and it will help you not to go through some unnecessary places in your life. Number two, not only is there the elder that is mentioned, but I want you to notice the second thing in verse number two. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now, this is the picture of a shepherd, because God's people are sheep. And when he said feed, remember, this is Peter now. We're talking about a man who is reflecting on his experiences with Christ. Peter failed the Lord. He denied him. And Jesus went after him. And he met with him there on the shore. And he said, I want you to feed my sheep. Amen. He said, I want you to be faithful to feed my sheep. There's a few things I want you to notice here in verse number 2 of chapter 5. He said, feed the flock. I believe that's just clearly speaking of preaching and teaching. See, you ought to have a pastor that's going to preach and teach the Word of God. So, well, every pastor preaches and teaches the Word of God. Don't be naive now. Don't be naive. There's a lot that's going on in the name of preaching that's not preaching. And there's a whole lot going on in the name of Bible teaching that's not Bible teaching. And so he said, feed the flock, watch this now, of God. Amen. It's not the flock, it's not my flock. Folks say all the time, well, you know, my flock. Well, that's not what the Bible said. Notice what the Scripture says. Feed the flock. Whose flock is it? The flock of God. I'm just an under-shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, you see, shall appear. Isn't that what verse 4 says? He's the chief shepherd. Jesus saves you and puts you in the flock. And then he'll give you an under-shepherd, someone that'll help you along the way in your journey. And so, first of all, an elder. A pastor's description is someone who has some wisdom, who has some knowledge, who has some experience, who has some maturity, who can counsel you from the Word of God. Why? Because life has hard places. Because there's bumps in the road. And we need spiritual guidance in our lives. And so for that purpose, God has given us good, godly pastors. Everybody ought to have one. Amen. Amen. Number two, you need fed. Well, I can read my Bible on my own, and you ought to. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you some good counsel. Read your Bible daily. Amen. Hide God's Word in your heart. Amen. Amen. Spend some time in the book. Get in the Word. Oh, listen, there's a devil out there, and he's going to try to keep you out of the book. But you take time to be holy. You get in this book. You read your Bible and pray every day. I can't do it, preacher. Yes, you can now. Yes, you can. The question is not if you can or if you can't. The question should be if you will or if you won't. And I pray you will. It'll help you to get in God's Word. And so he said here, feed the flock of God. I wouldn't go to a church where the Bible wasn't open and the Bible was preached. I wouldn't go to that church. I'll never forget one time when I was an assistant pastor at Bethel Baptist Church. This is not a reflection against the church. I just mentioned that by reference. We had a family. Sharon and I had a family visit with us. Just gotten saved in the church. And we were discipling them and helping them to grow in their newfound faith. And so they had gone to a service at a church in the community. And they'd come to us and they said, oh boy, we went over there to such and such church, and I'm telling you, it was wonderful. And I said, it was. I said, what happened? I mean, what was wonderful about it? They said, I mean, they were people just rolling in the floor and shouting. They said, the preacher didn't even preach. I said, well, that doesn't sound too wonderful to me. You mean you didn't need your Bible? No. I said, well, I don't know. I don't want to go to a church where the Bible's not used. I want to hear some preaching. That rolling in the floor is not going to get me through Monday. Matter of fact, it might make it hard on me at the age I am. I roll in the floor a little bit. I might have a hard time getting up and going. Amen. Listen to me. Folks have got strange ideas about what a good church service is. And so now, listen, he said, you feed the flock of God now. See, that's the responsibility of the pastor. Your responsibility is to eat. Amen. But my responsibility is to feed. You eat what you're fed. Yeah. So number one, the elder. Number two, what? The shepherd. Now, the shepherd does more than feed. The shepherd ought to protect. That's right. He ought to protect you from false doctrine. I've had several folks of this congregation right here, good people, come to me and say, hey, you know what? I heard this or I read this. What do you think? I said, I don't think too much of that. That's right. Now, listen, if I use your illustration, don't think I'm being mean towards you. I'm just saying I'm glad you came to me. I had an individual come to me and said, you know what? I read something online, and it says that we were not all born sinners. I said, well, that's a lie. We're all born sinners. Amen. And so, listen, you need to get off of that now. Stay away from that. And I can't tell you the times that people's come to me and said, Pastor, I seen this or I read this. And I say, we need to prove that by the Word of God. What saith the Scriptures? Amen. See, that's what we want to find out. Romans 4:3. Write it down, brethren. What saith the Scriptures? Not what's the Baptist believe, or the Presbyterian believe, or the Methodist believe, or the Catholics believe, or the Lutherans believe, or the Pentecostals believe. What saith the Scriptures? What did God say? You see, that's what I'm interested in. That's right. I want to know what God said on the matter. I want to line up with that. Don't you? Feed the flock of God. The pastor ought to protect. He ought to guard. That's right. Ought to provide. That's part of it. So, well, I don't need that. Yes, you do too. Yes, you do. If God said you need it, you need it. If God said I need it, I need it. So number one, an elder. You need that. Number two, a shepherd. Look at number three in verse number two. Taking the oversight thereof. Right? So we're going to give our pastor this. Now, not this. You don't give it to the pastor. God gave it to him. God handed him the reins of this oversight. What is this? Well, there was a word in verse number one I asked you to underline. I hope you did. It was among. And some things the pastor is among. He ought to get in and build relationships with the people. But now God has made the pastor in some areas over, taking the oversight. Amen. That word oversight is a very interesting word. It means overseer. Now listen, it's very important. It means to chart a direction. To get a vision, right? To chart a direction, to get a vision. Well, brethren, listen, if the pastor has no vision, the church is not going too far. Is that right? Somebody's got to have a vision. Somebody's got to have a goal. Somebody's got to have a direction. Why? Because sheep are directionless. That's right. Sheep in and of themselves, they're wanderers. All we like what? Sheep have what? Gone astray. Wanderers. Wayward. Woeful. But I thank God sheep can also be of some worth. That's right. You say, what kind of worth can an old sheep be? Well, a sheep that's following the shepherd can provide some good milk. Amen. Some wool. Yeah, that's right. Some lambs. See, sheep can provide some things. Not all that the Bible says about sheep is negative. Sheep can, they have some worth to them. And here the Bible says that they ought to be fed. Why? So they can fulfill their worth. Listen to me now. See, God has a purpose for your life. And it's going to be very difficult for you or I to reach that full ability that God has given us if we do not allow God's spiritual leader for God's spiritual guidance to guide us in our life. We need the church of God. We need the pastor. We need the teachers. God places them in our lives. Your Sunday school teachers, your pastors, your deacons. God places this leadership in place for a purpose. It's God's way. It's not something that the Baptist made up. It's the Bible. And we need to teach it to our children so our children will cash in and capitalize on that privilege and that opportunity that the church affords. It's a place to use service and to use your spiritual gifts. It's just a wonderful place. Number one, the elder. Number two, Number two, the shepherd. Number three, the oversight. This speaks of administration. This speaks of a vision. I'm glad that Fellowship Baptist Church has a vision. Brethren, when you see these flags, that speaks of vision. We're trying to reach lost people around the world, you see. Amen. When the buses go out, we're trying to reach people that couldn't get here any other way. And so we're trying to help them get here so they can get under the sound of the gospel, hear the gospel, be convicted, and be converted so that they can find pardon and purpose for their life. The music, everything we do is a vision. How are you involved in that vision? Get involved in the vision. Elder, shepherd, overseer. That's the description of your pastors. Taking the oversight in verse number two thereof. So the pastor is among the flock in verse number one, but there's some things he's over. Let me ask you, just for the sake of time, I've got just a couple of more thoughts, but I want you to turn to Hebrews 13. I think this is very important to us, so I'm going to turn to these scriptures, and I want you to mark them in your Bible. Hebrews 13. Verse number 7 says, "Remember them that have the rule over you." Spiritual leadership. "But I'm not going to bring myself under anyone." Well, now you have pride, and God resisteth the proud. If you want to read on over there in 1 Peter chapter number 5, that's exactly what he says. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. So don't think now you have all the answers and you've got it all taken care of. You need spiritual leadership. "Well, I have you to know I've been saved for 50 years. You need spiritual guidance and leadership in your life. God said so. We all need it. We all need it. And so he said, remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." I could preach a whole message on that, but I want you to just remember your pastors. I need your prayer. These pastors need your prayer. God's men need your prayer. It's important to the cause of Christ. Number two, look if you would in verse 17. "Obey them which have the rule over you." So not only remember them, but in verse number 17 it said, "Obey them and submit yourselves unto them." Don't puff up and be proud and say, "I'm not going to bring myself under anyone's authority." Well, now listen, you've got a hard road ahead of you if that's your attitude in life. Things are not going to go very well for you. There's always going to be conflict and contention in your life if you can't humble yourself and place yourself under the God-ordained leadership that God has placed in life. And it's in every walk of life, isn't it? It's not just in the church. It's in the workplace. It's in the home. It's in government. God has ordained leadership. And so learn what it is to bring yourself under it, that it may be well with thee. Finally, in verse number 24, he said, "Salute them." That word just means respect. Greet them with respect. Don't disrespect your leader. All right? So number one, remember them. Number two, respond to them. He said in verse number 17, obey. That means respond. Remember them. Respond. Respect. Who? Your pastors. Your spiritual leaders. Now listen, it's my place to respect you too. And I want to close with that as we move back to 1 Peter chapter number 5. So we've seen number one, elder, shepherd, overseer. Notice what he said here in verse number 2. I find it very interesting. He said, taking the oversight thereof, are you with me in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2? He said, not by constraint, but willingly. Listen, someone shouldn't have to talk you into being a pastor. Right? You ought to be a pastor willingly from your heart because you've had the anointing. You've had the call placed on your life. Amen. Not by constraint. You shouldn't have to twist a man's arm to get him to do the office of pastor if he's been called to be a pastor. Amen. So that's pretty hard, preacher. Well, I'm talking to me. I can be harder on me than I can on you. And so he said, I'll not be by constraint. By the way, if a man's doing something by constraint, it might be because he's lazy. And so he said, don't let it be that. Serve God from your heart. Do it willingly as a pastor. Your pastor ought to do that now. You shouldn't have to keep going to your pastor saying, the pastor, you know, this is something you're supposed to be doing. Now, there's nothing wrong with a reminder or maybe even education, helping them to know something if it's done in the right spirit. But if you constantly have to tell the pastor to be the pastor, he's doing it out of constraint. God can't use that. That man needs to get out of the ministry. He said, don't do it out of constraint. Verse number 2. Now, I'm telling you what the Bible says here, brethren. Not out of constraint, but willing. Look at this. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The man goes into the ministry for money. Well, first of all, he's a fool. but that word just, it simply means dishonest gain. That's what filthy lucre means. Dishonest gain. I'd be ashamed of myself to preach for money. So, well, you preach, you get paid, don't you, preacher? Well, I get paid. I want to just preach the whole counsel. 1 Timothy says, y'all muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. Pastors are worthy of double honor.
That's right.
So I don't believe that. Well, get in the Word and you will.
Sure.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to preach the Bible. Because, see, this is not about me. I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about God's men. And you'll do well to take care of God's men. We try to take care of all of God's men. They're not only a part of this work, but that are a part of the work that God's called them to. You'll do well to do that. God will bless your life. And so he said right here, he said, now, remember, don't do it out of constraint, but willingly. Don't do it for filthy lucre. Don't do it for dishonest gain, but do it of a ready mind. Do it because it's something that God's called you to do. It's something that you enjoy doing, that you're eager to do. You want to help people and minister to people. And then he said in verse number 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And while the pastors do take the oversight, they're not overlords. I'm going to close with this and a final point, but I want you to listen to me. As I said, I thank God for all the good pastors. And God's men, evangelists, missionaries, I thank God for them. And there's numerous good men that God has in the ministry. Numerous. Now, there's some men that are not so good in the ministry, too. I didn't say God had them there. I just said they're there. They're bullies. They're sheep shears. That's all they do is beat up the sheep. They have lame, weak sheep under their authority. And the Bible says that that's not the way God ordained the ministry. Look at it again here in verse number 3. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You lead the sheep, not drive them. You drive cattle, not sheep. Amen. And so it's not our place to be bullies and to be hateful and mean-spirited and think that's doing you any good. Now, sometimes there's sternness, and sometimes there has to be forwardness, but it has to be done in the right spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Being an example. Why? Because you ought to mimic your leadership. I want to be kind to you. Why? Because I want you to be kind to me. And you ought to be kind one to another. I want to be forbearing with you. Why? Because you ought to be forbearing to me. And we ought to be forbearing one to another. See, we're Christians. We ought to have this attitude. We ought to be quick to forgive. We ought to pray for people. We ought to pray for one for another. We ought to lift one another up. Is that right, brethren? Is that what the book teaches?
Amen.
It's what Christians do. It's what Christians do. And if pastors don't do it, how can we expect the flock to do it? If the shepherd doesn't do it, how is he going to expect the sheep to do it? And so we have a responsibility. We have a role But thank God, verse number 4 says we have a reward. When the chief shepherd, look at it, shall appear, you shall receive a reward. Amen? A crown of glory that fadeth not away. I want you to write down this verse as we close this morning. I realize that today's message was, it's informative to help us to understand, hey, you ought to have expectations of your pastor. Me. I don't shirk from that. I don't duck and dodge that. I'm not perfect, but I do not shirk my responsibility. I don't dodge. I don't avoid the responsibility and the role that God has given me. I do it from a ready mind. I have an eager spirit. I want to serve God with my life, and a big part of serving God with my life and my calling is serving you. That's just a big part of it. And you have a right to know what the responsibility and the role of your pastor is, because one day I will not be your pastor. And you need to know and understand the biblical role and responsibility of a pastor is. If you don't now, many people get in trouble. And a man will come in, he'll take you in a direction that God doesn't want you to go. Stick with the Bible. The Bible is always right. The Bible is never wrong. Even if it doesn't sound just right, the Bible's always right. It's never wrong, and if God said it, follow it. You can't go wrong doing right. Let's stand to our feet.